Oh, how's everybody doing? Yeah, we good? Whew. Yeah, you know, such amazing when we get to do baby dedications and we get to bless families and their children. And speaking of children, if you don't know, I have 5 kids. Whew. Just like you guys are something, you have 5 kids. So I know exactly what it means to have a full house. In fact, I also know what it means to have a messy house. Because in fact, I remember one time we were at home and our house was a mess. It still is, to be completely honest. And so I remember one day the living room was messy, the dining room was messy, the kids' room was messy. So I said, okay, listen, before you guys go on any TVs or iPads or whatnot, we're going to clean the house. Okay, we're going to clean the house. So I told my kids, okay, go clean your guys' room. I'm going to clean the living room. I'm going to clean the dining room. And so we spent the whole day cleaning, because when you have 5 kids, or maybe it's because if you have my 5 kids, your house doesn't look like it got hit by a tornado. It looks like it got hit by 5 tornadoes. And so it was such a mess. So we spent the whole day, and finally, when the day was over, when we were eating dinner, the kids' room was nice, all their clothes were put away, their living room was clean, you actually had a place where you could sit and watch TV, and so it was great. And then I wake up the next morning, and it's almost like nothing happened. The house was a mess all over again. I walk into my kids' room, and I see all clothes on the floor. I walk into the living room. There's no place to sit. I'm like, wait a minute. I just cleaned the house, and it's a mess all over again. I don't know about you, but I don't like mess. Anybody like messes in their house? No, right? Nobody's like, hey, I love a mess. No. And the truth is, we don't like messes, especially when it comes to our lives. But the truth is that although we don't want a mess, although we want a mess-free life, we live in a messed-up world filled with messy people. Now, don't look at your spouse and say, hey, he's talking about you. Because the truth is, we're all messy. And whether it's a mess that comes from a broken past or a mess resulting from just living in this messed up world, or maybe a mess that was created by our own sin and actions, each and every one of us have our own mess. There is no one in this world that has a mess-free life. But even in the messes of life, we can discover the message that Jesus has for us. Now, when we look throughout the Bible, we see the testimonies and stories of many people and the messiness of their lives, especially within the Gospels when Jesus was walking around amongst us on this world. We see many people whose lives were overwhelmingly messy. But from the moment that they experienced the message of Jesus, their lives were forever changed. And so this morning, we're going to discover the truth of the message of Jesus Christ. So if you're taking notes in your app or just taking notes, the first thing that we discover in the message of Jesus Christ is that Jesus wants us. Jesus wants us even with our mess. He does. It's kind of interesting because I think a lot of times we'll say, no, Jesus, you don't know the mess I'm in. You have no idea. But the thing is, Jesus does know, and yet he still wants us. There's a story in the Bible in Luke 15, verses 12 to 13, and it says, while Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. And immediately, the leprosy left him. Now, you know, growing up in Hawaii, we all have an idea of what leprosy is because of Molokai and Father Damien. But did you know that when Jesus was on this earth, when there was people with leprosy, did you know that they were shunned and shamed? Like, this is how it was back then when you had leprosy. If you had leprosy, you had to cover your entire body. And when you would walk out in public, you would have to yell at the top of your lungs, unclean, 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 as you're strolling around in public. I mean, can you imagine that? You having to yell, broadcast, proclaim that you're dirty, that you're unclean, that your life is a mess. That's what they had to do. That's the mess that the lepers found themselves in. And yet, not only did this man experience cleaning and healing, he experienced the message of Jesus, that Jesus wanted him. See, when Jesus said, "I am willing," he was also saying, "I'm wanting to." In fact, at that moment, Jesus was saying, "I want you." Even with the mess. See, a lot of times we think, well, not even with Jesus, with other people. We might be going through a mess right now, and we might be thinking, I don't want to bother anybody, or I don't want to ask for help, or I don't want to be in a burden or a nuisance. And we do that with God too. We do that with Jesus. And Jesus is saying, listen, your mess, whatever it may be, I still want you. Because your mess doesn't lessen your value to Jesus. For example, I have this $100 bill. It's a real $100 bill. Anybody want it? Me too. I wish it was mine. I got to give it to my friend Bill. He's waiting for it afterwards. But so this is a $100 bill. We all know what this is. We all know the value of it. Like, I'm pretty sure many of us wish we had this right now in our wallet or in our pocket. We wish we would love to have this because we know the value. We know what we can buy with it. We know exactly what we would do with it. Some of us would save it. Some of us would spend it. But let me ask you a question. This is a $100 bill. It's nice and crispy. But if I do this, is it still $100? Right. Even though I stomped on it, even though it's smushed and now as I unravel it, it's all crinkly, it didn't lose its value, right? I can still go to the store with this and say, hey, I'll buy that. And they'll say, okay, this is how much it costs. See, just because it's messed up or messy, it doesn't lessen the value. And in the same way, our mess doesn't lessen our value when it comes to Jesus. You know what's so amazing is that Jesus isn't waiting for us to get out of our mess. He's not saying, hey, here's what I want you to do. Before I bless you, I want you to come out of your mess. No, Jesus isn't waiting for us to get out of the mess. He wants us, even with our mess. You see, he knows the mess that we're in. And instead of waiting for us to be better, he takes us as we are. Romans 5:8 says it like this: "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." It doesn't say that, but while we got our act together, or while we got our life better, or when we made things right, or when we tried harder. No, it says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us because he loves us. He loves you, even with our mess. Just a couple of days ago, I was talking to one of my friends. We were just talking stories, and we were just sharing what's going on in our lives. And I told him, hey, remember when this happened? And he talked about there was an incident that happened. And it's pretty a messy situation. And so we're talking about it, and I told him, well, how did you feel the next day after? Because the next day after, he actually came to church. And so this messy situation happened on a Saturday, and Sunday was the next day, and I asked him, you came to church. What did you experience at that moment? And this is what he said. He said, I felt welcomed. Nobody was eyeing me out. Nobody was looking at me, giving me condescending looks. Nobody came to me and said, ha, you, this happened to you, yeah? I said, no, I felt welcomed. I felt wanted. I felt loved. Nobody judged me. Nobody condemned me. I knew they all knew, but all they did was love me. And I felt wanted. I felt wanted. And it was so amazing because I told him, you know what's so amazing? That's the heart of Jesus. That's the heart of Jesus. He doesn't look at us and say, look at you, naughty, naughty. He doesn't look at our mess and go, oh man, I can't believe it. No, he looks at our mess and says, listen, even in your mess, I still want you. And not only does he want us, but if you're taking notes, the second thing is this. In our mess, Jesus embraces us. He embraces us in the mess. I love that about Jesus. I love that about the message of who he is. It's because he's not a person who sees a mess and he's like, you're too messy, you're too messy. I don't want nothing to do with you. No, he embraces us in the mess. In fact, in Luke 13, verses 10 to 13, it says, on a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, woman, you are set free from your infirmity. Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. See, not only does Jesus want us, but he also embraces us even in the mess. He meets us right in the middle. He's not afraid of the mess that we may find ourselves in, or even the mess that we think we are. See, Jesus doesn't run away from the mess. He runs towards the mess. In fact, I remember a couple months ago, I was at home and I had my two youngest, which are twins, Luke and Leah, and they're 2 years old. They're going to be three in a couple months. And I remember at home and I'm playing video games on my iPad, and Luke and Leah are sitting down and they're playing with toys right by daddy, and I think mommy too was playing video games too. And so we're playing video games, and I hear them playing, and all of a sudden I hear my daughter Leah go, uh-oh. Now, if you're a parent, and you hear one of your youngest child say, uh-oh, you know you gotta look. So I'm like, what happened? And I hear Leah rat her brother out. She's like, Lukey made mess. Now, when my daughter said Lukey made mess, I'm gonna be honest with you. As a dad and as a parent, I thought, uh-oh, he made mess where? In his diaper? Or something else? And so I'm like, okay, I'm almost done with this round. I'll clean up Lukey right after this. Okay. And so I'm still playing video games. Yeah, you know, you're probably going, wow, what a dad. Yeah, I play video games. I gotta beat the guy first and then take care of my kid. So I'm playing. And all of a sudden, I feel my son put his hand on my leg. And it wasn't just his hand. There was something else on his hand. So I look down, I'm like, Lukey, what is this brown stuff? Now, before you go, it wasn't that. Because I looked at it and I was like, okay, I know it's not that. It was something else. I'm like, Lukey, what is that thing on your hand? And she goes, I make mess. And so I got up and I looked. My son had found the chocolate cake mix and decided that the color of our floor at that moment wasn't good enough for him. He wanted it to be brown. So he opened it up and he spread it all over the floor. And at that moment, I was like, bro, you didn't spill my cake mix, bro. Like, I could have made cake. And then I look at him and I hear my daughter Leah go, she said, naughty, naughty, Lukey. And I'm like, you're right, Leah. Luke. And I look at my son, and I'm not gonna lie to you, I was like, I was upset. And my son looks at me, and he gives me this look like. So I grab him. I look at him and go, you made mess. You let daddy clean him up. You can help daddy. Okay. So I got him down, I grabbed the dustpan, and together we cleaned up the mess. And I had to wipe his face because I think he tried to eat the chocolate cake powder, and yeah, it was all over his face, and I remember just cleaning him up, and And as I'm cleaning him up, I realized something. That the message I was trying to give my son at that very moment was this. That no matter what mess you may be in, Daddy is always willing to be there for you. And as soon as I had that thought, I realized, that's not my thought, yeah, God. That's yours. That there's no mess that Jesus is saying, I'm not willing to meet you there. See, Jesus embraces us in the mess. I mean, imagine with this about this lady. Imagine what this lady was thinking. For 18 years, for almost 2 decades, she's been crippled. The Bible doesn't say that she sinned and that because she sinned, she was crippled. No, she just was crippled. And we all know that there's sickness, there's illness, there's disease in this broken world. And she just so happens to have that be her mess, that she's crippled for 18 years. She's been disfigured, broken, and hurt all this time. Just like the leper, she probably felt and was treated like a public eyesore all the time. I mean, she probably felt invisible, yet overlooked. She probably felt surrounded, but alone. I don't know about you, but maybe you're here, and maybe you're saying, I feel the exact same way. And if you are, I want to tell you this, that just like that woman, Jesus sees you. Not only does he see you, but just like that woman, he calls out to you and he wants to embrace you. Yes, even in the mess. See, at that very moment when Jesus laid his hands on her, her mess became part of his message. Revelation 21:3 says, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Jesus wants to embrace us right in the middle. He is willing to dwell with us. When it says that God himself will be with them, it's in Jesus. There was this one time in the very beginning of the pandemic, in this season, when everything got locked down. I mean, it was a mess. I mean, we all know that. 2 years ago, when everything happened, it was a big mess. I mean, for parents became teachers, students had homeschool, some people got laid off from work, people were getting sick. It was a messy time. And not even, that's just in the world, but even in our own personal lives, some of us were going through messy moments, and I remember I was going through a messy moment. I started mentally breaking down, emotionally breaking down, and I remember this one day I got into a fight with my wife, and we're just arguing. I'm just trying to tell her, like, I just want to feel appreciated. I just want to just listen to how I'm feeling. I don't want you to give me any answers. Just listen. And we just argue, and all of a sudden, I'm over it, and so I just break down. I start crying. And so I find myself sitting on the couch and I'm just bawling out. Like my brain couldn't compute what in the world to do. So I'm just sitting there, I'm crying. Well, my oldest daughter, Caitlin, I think she was 7 at the time, she sees her father crying on the couch. And without any words, without any asking, without any prompting, she comes straight to me and she just hugs me. She just hugs me as I'm crying on her shoulder, literally crying on her shoulder. And in my mind, I'm going, I'm the dad. I'm supposed to be the guy you cry on, not me cry on you. And it's not. She's not saying, are you okay, dad? She doesn't say a word. All she does is she just holds me and hugs me. And as she's hugging me, I literally can feel my brain synapses starting to realign. I can feel my emotions start to come back into alignment. And all of a sudden, my frustration, my irritation started to cease because my daughter saw me broken, didn't do anything but hug me. She saw Daddy in her mess, and in his mess, and embraced me. And when I think about it, I think about that's exactly what Jesus wants to do with each and every one of us. That even when we're broken, even when we're a mess, he says, listen, I see your mess, I see your troubles, I see it all, come here. Yeah, even in your mess, I'll meet you in the middle. I want you. I want to embrace you. And the last thing is this, the last thing of the message is this. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves us, no matter what the mess. Jesus wants us in our mess. Jesus will embrace us in our mess. And Jesus loves us, even with our mess. There's a story in the Bible that I love, and every time I read it, man, it just tugs at my heart. It's found in John 8, verses 1 to 11. It says, Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning, he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? See, they said this because they were trying to trap him into saying something that they could use against him. But Jesus stood up, stooped down, and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer, so he stood up again and said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one accuse you? Didn't even one condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. You see, not only does Jesus want us even with our mess, and not only does Jesus embrace us in the mess, but even with the mess, Jesus loves us. You see, we see this happen in the life of this woman. As Jesus is speaking, the religious leaders bring a woman who had been caught in the act of sinning. And now, what's so amazing is that because of the laws that the religious leaders were trying to uphold, the law of Moses and all the Levitical laws, they knew exactly what it meant. Because they knew what it meant, they were trying to make it not just a messy situation for the woman, but even for Jesus. Remember, it says that they're trying to set a trap for him. See, they're trying to compound this mess for Jesus because it was against the law to commit adultery, which meant that technically this woman who was caught in the act of adultery was sentenced to death. That's what the law said. But here's Jesus who's actually speaking in ways that kind of go against the law, but it wasn't actually, it was fulfilling the law, it was fulfilling the heart of God. And so they wanted to know what Jesus, this so-called Son of God, would decide in this moment, in this mess. But look at what happens. Jesus doesn't shy away from the mess. He takes his time. He not only steps into the mess, but he actually sits and waits. And although the religious leaders were demanding that Jesus would address the mess that this woman had found herself in, he does something greater. He addresses the mess not only with the adulterous woman, but also with the religious leaders, and even the mess within each and every one of us. I have a group of friends who I hang out with, and one day we're eating dinner and we're talking stories, and they're kind of sharing about their life and how their life before Jesus. And I'm listening to their lives, and I'm like, I had no idea that happened in your life. I mean, they're talking about stories about like drugs and relationships and alcohol and all these crazy things that they did. And I'm like, compared to you guys' story, I'm like vanilla ice cream. Right? This is like Rocky Road and cookies and cream or all these other extreme flavors, but I'm like vanilla ice cream when it comes to my story. Like, Jesus. They're doing something like all these things, and bam, Jesus. And now they're living changed lives. And it's so funny because I felt like that. I felt like, man, my testimony isn't as crazy as theirs. And all of a sudden, one of our friends said, yeah, but you know what's so amazing is we all have a story. We all have a story. Some of our stories, crazy. Some of us, vanilla ice cream. But we all have a story because we've all been there. We've all had lives before Jesus, and now we have lives with Jesus. See, that's something that the Pharisees didn't realize, that Jesus knows who we are and what we've done. They didn't realize that. And this is something I told Katie, I believe, Friday night when I finished the message, and this thought just spoke to me, that the religious leaders, the Pharisees, didn't realize that for Jesus to condemn the adulterous woman would mean that Jesus would have to condemn them too. Because we're all sinners. We're all guilty of sin. But that's the beauty of who Jesus is. See, in that moment, he spoke to the core of mankind. He doesn't want to condemn us for what we've done. He wants to love us through it. The most well-known scripture in the entire Bible is John 3:16, and it says it like this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." But there's also verse 17 right after it: "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Jesus didn't come to condemn, he came to save us. And it's great because we are messy people with messy lives, living in a messed up world. But there's a beauty in the message that Jesus has for us. That no matter what mess we may find ourselves in, Jesus wants us. That there is no mess that we can be going through that Jesus isn't willing to embrace us. No, he's willing to step in. And no matter how messy it may be, Jesus loves us and doesn't want us to stay in that mess. That's why he said to the adulterous woman, where are your accusers? Did they not condemn you? None. Well, neither do I. Go and sin no more. In other words, Jesus was telling the adulterous woman, listen, I love you even in this mess, but don't stay in it. Don't keep coming back to it. Be free. That's what Jesus came to do. That's the message of Jesus. When I was working on this message, I came across this post called The Unraveling by Kelly Baccara, and I thought it really just, as you listen to it, ask yourself, where am I right now? What mess am I going through? It says, when you're slammed with negativity, anxiety, and big emotions that consume you, when your heart is broken and you don't know how to cope, so you turn to things that will temporarily distract you, even though you know you'll end up feeling worse afterwards. When your house is as big of a disaster as your mind feels, and you can't seem to find any order. When a loved one is sick and you're drowning in fear. When you're doubting God's goodness, because if he was good, how could all of this be happening? When your marriage is falling apart and you don't know if there's any hope. When you lose your temper again after promising yourself you wouldn't. When you feel like you've missed the mark and question your worth. These are the messy moments of life. The ones that feel like they could wreck you or that they might bury you alive. It's during these times that we have to stop and remember that God meets us here, right in the mess. He accepts us in the mess. He loves us in the mess. And he wants us in the mess. With Jesus, it's not an until you type of relationship. He isn't saying, until you get your act together, then I will accept you. Or until you fix your relationships, then I will love you. Or until you're better, then I will want you. No. He meets us in the mess. And his feelings for us do not fluctuate and are not changing. He meets us in the mess, but he doesn't leave us there. It's typically not our first reaction to run to God when we're struggling, but it can be. And if we give him the mess, he knows how to redeem it. It might not be in the way we want him to, but it could be even better. It's in the mess that we need him the most, and he is more than willing to meet us. So use the messy moments as an invitation to really experience his love and grace. Let the Redeemer do the redeeming. See, Jesus loves us, mess and all. And in his love, we discover transformation beyond the mess. Jesus doesn't love us from a distance. He loves us up close and personal. See, Jesus stepped into our messy world and our messy lives to save us and set us free. That's the true message of the gospel of Jesus. And I want to end with this, because you might be here and maybe you're thinking, can Jesus really love me in this mess? I'm going to call up Travis. I've known Travis since he was in intermediate school, and to be completely honest, he's been like my first son, like my first child, which I attribute some of this gray hair to. I've seen him go through life for more than a decade. And Travis represents us. We want to live a clean life, but the truth is, we all have messy lives. We live in a messed up world. We all have a messy past, so I'm going to ask Pastor Kat to come up. Pastor Kat represents our messy past, maybe our messy brokenness, our past relationships, or things that were done to us in the past, and we're a mess because of it. That's not the only mess that there is. There's not only the mess of the past. There's also the mess of this world, because we live in a messed up world. And no matter as hard as we try, we're not innocent to it. We can't avoid it. And so I'm going to ask Kiva to come out. And Kiva is going to represent this messed up world. Sometimes the messed up world will leave a sad face on your life. And I wish I could tell you that this is the only message that we have in our lives, but the truth is there's another one that's really big. It's the mess that happens because of our own actions, our own sin. Maybe you're here right now, and maybe you're watching this later, but the truth is, this is how you feel, because this is where you're at. Life is messy right now. Or maybe you feel like you're a mess. Can I tell you this? That the message of Jesus Christ is that he wants you, even in your mess. That he's willing to meet you in the middle and embrace you. But that's not all. That even no matter how messy it may be, Jesus loves us. Jesus knows that love is messy, and he calls us to love also. It's not a run away from the mess. We got to be willing to love each other. Maybe your life is a mess right now, and I want to encourage you, let Jesus transform your mess into his message. Because after all, he is our Messiah. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? Lord Jesus, we come before you right now, Lord, and the truth is, Lord, life is messy. This world is messed up. For many of us, Lord, if we were to be honest, we see the messes. Some of us, we try to deny it. Some of us, we try to hide it. But Lord, you know it's there. And not only do you know that it's there, but you're speaking into our hearts right now, saying, I want you, even with your mess. That you're saying, I want to embrace you. right in the mess that you're in. Because I love you, no matter the mess. Lord, for many of us, Lord, our heart is this, that you would turn the messes in our life into your message, because you are the Messiah. And maybe you're here right now, and maybe you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but he's here right now waiting for you, wanting to embrace you and love you. And all you have to do is just receive him into your life as your Lord and Savior. And I want to give you that opportunity right now. So just repeat this prayer. If you want, you can repeat this prayer after me. And as you repeat it, you're saying it with everything that you're saying it with everything that you are. Lord Jesus, I receive you today as my Lord and Savior. I believe that you died on the cross and you rose from the dead to give me eternal life. I ask for forgiveness, and I turn from my old ways and turn to you. Thank you for wanting me. May I feel your embrace and know your love for the rest of my life. Thank you for being my Messiah. I give you all that I am. In Jesus' name I pray. Lord, that's our heart, Lord, that you would just take the mess, make it into your message, because you are the Messiah. We're so grateful, Lord, that you love us for who we are, and that you're not willing to leave us there, because you have something far greater for each and every one of us. So help us to live our days all for you. We love you, Lord. We thank you. And we pray this all in the name of Jesus. And we all said, amen. Amen. And if you receive Jesus Christ for the first time, can I encourage you, tell somebody about it. In fact, we have our yes table in our fellowship hall where I want to meet you, give you a free gift to help you in your walk with the Lord. And just don't forget also that coming up next month, we do have Father's Day coming up, and we're going to celebrate and honor our dads on Sunday, June 19th. So be sure to invite your dads, your people that you know are dads, and just invite people. It's going to be a great day where we are going to have fun activities. Definitely going to have food. Just saying. Definitely going to have food. And we also have some really awesome giveaways that we're going to do. So again, Father's Day, June 19th, we have invitations located in the back of the sanctuary, as well as on our app, so you can send digitally. God bless everybody. Have a great day. We'll see you guys Wednesday night at 6:30 or next week Sunday at 7, 8:30, and 10. And don't forget, love is messy, so go out there and love. Aloha.